Dear friends, we come once again to the Word of God, and I want to turn your attention to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11 and verse 31, just one verse we shall read. In verse 31 we read, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Now, dear friends, the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 were men like passion as we are. They were like us. They were far from perfect. There were failures. There were inconsistencies in their lives. But we ought to, not to write them off. God didn't write them off. But their names are included because of their faith. And this was a divine faith. This was something of the Lord's doing in their life. It wasn't that they were born into the faith. But God sovereignly gave them faith to trust in Him. And dear friends, it's the same with us. Our sins and our follies are always wrong and must always be displeasing to the Lord. He never condones our excuses. He doesn't condone or excuse our sins, but He's made a way whereby sinful and failing men and women and children may find deliverance from the penalty and the power of sin, and that's the way of faith and trust in Him and His way of salvation. And faith, as we see it in this study, we've been looking at faith from different angles, and they're all true faith, and God wants us to realize that faith is much deeper than people know in this world. And what people very shallowly talk about faith in God, is much deeper. It can be viewed from different angles and different perspectives, and to see what is genuine faith. What does faith do? And this faith that we think of is a faith that takes refuge. It's a faith that takes refuge. And this is what we see in this Rahab. Yes, of course, here is a wonderful picture of the gospel as well. Faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. One who shed His blood for us. And His precious blood was so beautifully typified here in the story of Rahab, how it was called even the sure sign. The people said, that will be the sure sign for you. Your house will be marked. And it was said that the line of a scarlet thread, which guaranteed and secured her safety and the safety of her father's household, that's a picture of the scarlet blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us. And dear friends, in spite of our knowledge of the recorded failures of the lives of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so on, we are not surprised that their names are cataloged in Hebrews chapter 11. But were you ever surprised right at the beginning when you first read this passage in the Word of God? I have to say, I didn't know why she was placed in there. And sometimes I used to wonder, why did God allow Solomon to write so much? And his life was a mess. And here it is. It says, by faith. It says even her name was referred to here as the harlot Rahab. She's the prostitute Rahab. That name stuck. Perished not with them that believed not. She didn't die with those who did not believe. And if you have margins in your Bible, it will tell you, she didn't perish with those who were disobedient. Unbelief is one of disobedience. When she had received the spies with peace. In Hebrews 11 and verse 31. Can a sinner be translated from a house of shame, as it were, and be entered into this hall of fame? As Hebrews 11 is referred to, this family of faith, to be a shining example of what faith is. This is a picture of faith that takes refuge Don't be ashamed if by faith you take refuge in the things of God. Maybe you don't understand everything. Maybe things are difficult for you. Maybe you're disappointed in various other things that are happening, and yet you take hold on the promises of God and you take refuge in the Lord Jesus. And you can say, Jesus knows my situation. The Lord Jesus knows my frame. He knows that I'm dust. He knows my troubles. He knows my failings. He knows my confusion. He knows when I don't understand things. He knows when I fall. Yes, I take refuge in Him who knows me. The apostle says in Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That's where Rahab was once. The power of darkness. In the hand of Satan. Her heart was dark. Her eyes were dark. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Translation, what does it mean? It means to transport one thing from one place to another. That's what it means. So in terms of language, we say we transport one phrase into another place, into another meaning. And that's what happened. Is it possible? Does the grace of God take a prostitute out of the land of Canaan and place her into the line of Christ to be one of the mothers of Christ? That's amazing. Yes, the Lord does that by His grace. And it is marvelous in our eyes. For Rahab, dear friends, learned that blessed truth that the Lord spoke through Isaiah. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That was the experience of Rahab. So, my friends, I don't know your situation. I don't know where you have been this week. I don't know what's happening to you. Or maybe you might look at some individual and you think they're far gone. They're so dark. Their mind is dark. Everything. They've closed all the shutters and they will not hear anything. Well, my friends, they may not hear you, but who can tell what God will do? They might hear something else from someone else. Here was a woman who had heard not from the mouth of these spies, but it was noised abroad. It was the talk of different individuals that God had been working somewhere for some people. And it began to produce faith in her. As we shall see. So here, we could say, John 3:16 illustrated in the life of Rahab. It's wonderful. And the passage is recorded. This is recorded in Joshua 2 and Joshua 6 as well, of what took place. But we'll glean from these things. I want us to think about this faith taking refuge in a number of ways. First of all, we see that Rahab was a sinner, yet she was saved by grace through faith. You see, there is only one way for a sinner to be saved. There's always been one way of salvation, not various different ways of salvation. No, there's only one way of salvation. Here was this woman who was a pagan. She wasn't born in a Christian home. She wasn't born in a godly home. And maybe that's you. There are various ones here who are so blessed you were brought up in a Christian home. You knew from your birth what it was, what the salvation was, what the gospel was, what the word of God was. And you've had respect for it. You've been kept from all kinds of wicked things and evil things. And you should be thankful to God and you should ask the Lord to bless those things to your life. But there are those of us who have been brought up in very pagan environments, very ungodly homes. We've been hearing swear words from our youth. We've seen fighting all the time at home. We've seen all kinds of displeasing things, and we followed it as well. We've seen idolatry and wickedness. And here is this woman. In this spiritually pagan, dark land, among a people who were given up to idolatry. Rahab herself, as we read, she was a harlot. She was a prostitute. Far from God. But you see, God is not far from any one of us, the scripture says in Acts. He is near to souls. Whoever he wishes, he draws near to them. But Rahab was far from God. But God was seeking her. So that is one thing. She was a sinner. Yet she was saved by grace through faith. And it says in Hebrews 11, verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. It was by faith she didn't die. It was by faith she was rescued and saved. The second thing is this, that Rahab's faith began in hearing God's word. It began in hearing God's word. It didn't come just out of nowhere. It began when she heard something about the word of God. Twice she speaks about it. In Joshua chapter 2, we read it. In verses 10 and 11, this is what we read. For we have heard, she says in verse 10. In verse 11, as soon as we had heard these things, it says, we've heard about this matter. Not just me, but many other people around me heard the same thing. We were talking about it. It was the truth. It was the truth of what God had done. And what happened? She heard it and she believed it. She knew it was true. She heard what she believed. She didn't say, no, that's just a saying. That's just something that people talk about. It's not really true. That can't happen. It's not real. That's just something that people say, but it's only a story. People make up things. But she did believe it. And so she was able to say, as you have it in verse 9, she says with confidence, and she said unto the man, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. She's full of assurance. She knows it. I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Dear friends, faith takes God at his word and counts on it. You count on the word of God. We are saved in the same way, and we are kept in the same way. As Rahab was saved and as she was kept, we hear the gospel, we hear God's word, and we hear that we are under God's condemnation. We've broken his laws, we have rejected him. And when we hear these things, the word of God comes, and when God works in our hearts, we tremble at the word of God. And then we begin to believe. We begin to trust those words. We say, they are true. It is true of me, and it is true of God. And by faith, we are saved. Faith begins in hearing God's word. And so, dear friends, every time you bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, every time you pass a tract, every time you pray, every time you are bearing witness in whatever capacity, do you know what you're doing? You are spreading the word of God. And if the Lord wills, he can use that. The weakest thing. Sometimes we are asked questions, and you have done it, I've done it so many times. And you walk away and you think, what did I say? What did I say? And then you know a thousand other ways, better ways, you could have said that and answered that question. But my friends, let us educate ourselves, let us learn from our mistakes, but let us trust that if you have spoken something of the Lord and his mercies and something of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord can use that. The Lord can apply that to sinners' hearts. Salvation comes, and faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Third thing is this. Rahab confessed her faith to the spies. Her faith was not just dormant. She began to talk about it. She was no secret believer. Notice the difference between a mere intellectual faith and a real heart faith. We read in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 10, where Rahab says, "We have heard," she says. And of course, that included other people there, the inhabitants of Jericho. But in, as I said, in verse 9, she says, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Many in Jericho had heard the same thing, had heard about the power of God. Did they receive it? No, they didn't receive it. The same happens. You hear the same message. The same word goes out. The same tract is given. The same scripture is read. And there are so many people who simply are not affected by it. And it's heartbreaking. Then you see somebody, maybe someone who you didn't expect. They begin to be broken in their hearts. They begin to see the things they didn't see before. Here was this Rahab. Out of all these people, do you see the election of God's grace? Do you see how God works so amazingly? Why Rahab? Why not somebody else who was a little more clean in their life? But God is showing these things that He would be glorified. And she believes. What a wonderful thing. Oh, people call their daughters names. Various names. Sarah, and I won't mention other names that come to mind because some of you are called those names. But and they're all nice names. But I've never yet heard of a daughter or a lady called Rahab. But it's a wonderful name. And the grace of God in her life. You think about Lydia. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. But the Lord opened Rahab's heart as well. So maybe that should be a name for a girl. And so there it is. She begins to confess her faith. She begins to say, I know that the Lord is with you. I know that the Lord is going to do this. I know it and I believe it. It's not just something that I have heard. It's not just information in my head. But I actually believe this to be true. And she engages with them, talks with them, because she believes in the Lord. She trusts in the Lord. What do we read in Romans 10 and verse 9? Particularly, you notice the words, the heart. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. No, not just with your mouth. Many people confess Jesus with their mouth. And then it says, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not just going through some sort of confirmation class and saying, well, I've learned what to say. Here is the words of catechism that I can rehearse back and repeat back. And all of those things, well, certainly with being catechized, that's a good thing. It's good to learn things and how to express doctrine in a sound way. But if that's all that we can say and we don't believe it in our hearts, it is so, what a great distance there is between the two. Saying things and knowing and believing it in our hearts. So it is not enough to believe with our head. We must trust with our hearts. And then after believing in our hearts, we must confess with our mouth and in our lives. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this in Matthew 10 and verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. What a challenge that is. How heart-searching this is. How it should make us pray, Lord, help me to be faithful. Oh, Lord, help me to be a faithful witness. Help me to be bold when opportunities come and not lose that opportunity. But then we'll move on. Rahab's faith was demonstrated by her works. It wasn't an empty faith. It wasn't just a hopeful wish in her heart even. Nice feelings or certain resolutions. No. Works are the evidences of faith. It shows that faith is real. And so we read in that passage in Hebrews and chapter 11, verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She believed, and because she believed, she received the spies with peace. She didn't reject them. She accepted them. She welcomed them. That word received, it has to do with the welcoming reception. She wanted them. She thought, well, they could have gone to somewhere else. They could have been far away from this place. They were brought here. By God's sovereign direction, I welcome them. Come in, come in. James tells us this in James 2 and verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by faith when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? So even James tells us this in James 2, in chapter 2 and verse 25. So uses this reception of the spies, as she was justified, her faith was shown, God has stamped it, as she is justified, look at what she does. Look at this faith of hers. And we have so many scriptures to that end. In Philippians 3 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul says this, life of the Christian. He says, I follow after, he says. Not as though I had already attained in Philippians 3:12. Either were already perfect. He says, I haven't got everything yet. I haven't got everything. I'm not perfected yet in my walk and in my faith. But I follow after. There's some life in me. There's some work in me. This faith of mine is operating, is doing something, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet. I haven't got it yet. I'm not seeing myself as being there yet. He's saying, I am not truly reformed yet. Some people, they think, I've arrived now. I'm reformed in past tense. No, we are reforming. Constantly, the Lord is washing us and cleansing us. We are not patting ourselves on the back and says, and look at us. No. Paul doesn't do that. He says, I don't count myself that I've apprehended, but this thing, one thing I do. So there is something I'm doing because my faith is energizing me. The Lord Jesus Christ is wooing me to himself. He's drawing me and I will run after him, forgetting those things which are behind. That's what I'm doing. Day after day, I'm not looking back. I'm not living my old life. My friends, don't live your old life. The Apostle Paul says this, and we could concentrate so much on this. He says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. What kind of a man I was, what prestige I had, the good, the bad, everything. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's what I'm doing. Where faith is real, it will be seen, dear friends. And the evidence of Rahab's faith was that she hid the spies. And she confessed to the spies. And she sent the spies away. That's what James tells us. But the greatest evidence of her faith was that scarlet cord, that scarlet robe, mentioned in verse 18 of Joshua chapter 2. And in verse 12, this is referred to as a sign. It was a sign that she believed the word of the spies and the word of God. She could be saved. That when they come and they say this, that was a sign of salvation. She would be secure. She would be kept. She would not perish like everyone else. So while the cord was in the window, Rahab knew that she was safe. What a sign. She took refuge in that. Her faith took refuge in that. And the only safe refuge for a guilty sinner today is the scarlet blood of Jesus Christ, that precious blood. We could spend so much time on this. But let me say something here, that fifthly, faith was not perfect. Her faith was not perfect. And I'm sure the thought has gone through your mind. You've been questioning. In the midst of all of this, she did tell lies. She was not honest. Faith is not perfect. There is imperfection in her faith. She's a young Christian. She's not a mature Christian. Oh, how sad it is when mature Christians fall. But here is a young Christian. And so she replied and said, no, they are not here. They didn't come in. The king had sent to her. That report had been given. Yes, these spies, the two spies have gone in. And fearful of their lives, she told lies, pretending that she didn't know from where they had come. And she said, oh, no, they are not here. They are not here. And we can't justify that. I can't really justify this. We cannot then use this passage and say, oh, well, we can tell lies too. No, I think here was a weakness of her faith. She was thinking of the consequences rather than thinking, I must be faithful. I must be true. I must say the truth. Even with those things, we need so much grace and wisdom. The way she went, it so much resembles other people who should have known better. You remember Rebecca and how she gave her son Jacob, or to her son Jacob? We see this kind of a thing oftentimes in the scriptures, and it makes us realize the reason these people are saved, the reason God has brought them out of their situation was nothing to do with them, but it was because of His grace. The Lord is full of tender mercy. And remember, He's willing to pass by many of the affliction or the infirmities of His children. And when you think of this imperfection of the faith of Rahab, you have to ask yourself and say to yourself, or to the Lord, if Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? You see what we are told here. The very fact that Rahab is mentioned in Hebrews 11, it is saying to you that God bears with much weaknesses in His children, especially with the young ones. The Lord Jesus Christ calls them the lambs. He bears with much of it. Thomas Manton, the Puritan, he said this, I observe there was a mixture of infirmity in this act and officious lie, which cannot be excused, though God in mercy pardoned it. This is not for our imitation, yet it is for our instruction. And it shows us this, that faith in the beginning hath many weaknesses. Those that have faith do not altogether act out of faith, but there is somewhat of the faith mingled with that of the Spirit. But this is passed by out of God's indulgence. God accepteth us notwithstanding our sins before faith, and notwithstanding our weaknesses in believing. Before faith she was a harlot. In believing she makes a lie. God doth reward the good of our actions and pardon the evil of them. Not to encourage us in sinning, but to raise our love to him who forgives us so great a debt, receives us graciously and pardons our manifold weaknesses. So here is a weak faith as well, or imperfect faith. But what we find as well, another point is this, that Rahab's faith involved a radical change. It involved a radical change. Because she believes on the Lord, her whole life now is transformed. She's not what she used to be. She's not going to carry on, even though the label harlot is attached to her name. But now it could be a mark of glory. This is what I was. Look what the Lord has done for me. I'm no longer a harlot. That was what I used to be. Her whole life is now transformed. For her, a believer, it meant leaving that doomed city. That was the city of destruction, like Pilgrim's Progress. She's now to be separated from her own people, the Canaanites. And she throws in her lot with the people of God. She certainly turned to God from her idols. And we see in her life that her life was changed. A real work of grace in the heart will always lead to a real change in the life. In other words, faith in the Lord Jesus will be evidenced by a change of character. And then let me say that faith reaches out to her friends and her loved ones. She doesn't forget her family. She doesn't forget those that she loves. And that's made clear in Joshua 2 and verses 12 and 13. In Joshua 2, we read this in verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. That's a true sign. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. What a lovely thing to see. This woman concerned for the salvation of her family, of her friends. People who wouldn't have wanted to be with her. Now, they would be desperate to be with her. Now she goes and says, you can come to my house. Maybe they would have been ashamed to be with her. But now she can go and tell them there's a day coming. There's a judgment day coming. The Lord will destroy this city. He will save us by his grace. Come. Do we have concerns like this for our family, for our friends? She was like that Esther of old, where we read, for how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? We have examples, don't we? We have Andrew 2 in the New Testament, in John chapter 1. And verse 40, we read, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation the stone. And so on. You have Philip, you have others in the scripture. They all are interested to share about the Lord with their family and with their friends. Let our faith be one that we would seek to increase. We would seek to strengthen that faith, to become bold and become so loving that we would share this truth with others around us. And what we find finally is that Rahab's faith brought her into a position of great honor and made her a special channel of God's blessing. Oh, she could have looked at her life and said, so it's all, my past is now wasted. What a wasted life. What did I do with my life? I sinned against God. How can God use me at all in any way? And I've heard this from some of you. So you look at your life and you say, my life has been a wasted life. Look at my background. Look at the things I've done. But this faith in the Lord and His promises brought her into this great position of honor, made her a special channel of God's blessing. This woman, now brought into living relationship with the Lord, became the mother of who? Boaz, the great grandfather of King David. And so as we finish this study now, we think, well, then what happened? Boaz is referred to in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. And through that line, Christ was born as well. From what depths of sin and shame, someone has put, did sovereign grace deliver this poor woman? To what a height of honor and dignity did sovereign grace elevate her? Truly, the rewards of faith are most excellent and glorious. Dear friends, be encouraged then. Here is a faith that takes refuge in the Lord and is willing to be marked by that wonderful token, the scarlet rope, the scarlet cord, to be marked for the Lord Jesus, marked for His salvation. May the Lord then bless these few thoughts to us.